Amen. Thank you for the beautiful music. Good evening.
Good evening.
Y'all happy?
Yes.
All right. Can't see you too well. The lights are a little bit bright here. I'm about ready to confess a little bit. I was a little late on my house payment, but I'll get it caught up. No, it's just I'm not to the lights here a little bit, but I like to see the faces and who all's here. Now, how many of you came to 3ABN camp meeting last week? Oh, there's several of you did. All right. We had a good time, didn't we? Good time in the Lord. How many of you watch 3ABN? Most of you?
Amen.
All right. There's numerous ways you can watch 3ABN. Used to be with satellite, but now we have what's called a MySDA box. You can get it at 3ABN. I think it's under $100. And you can get all eight channels, soon to be nine networks, 24/7. Channels, and it'll be high definition. All you have to have is if you have internet in your house, you hook it up to your television, so no matter how big your screen, and you can get all of this, not only in high definition, but if you don't happen to like what's on, or you missed a program, you were at church and you missed a program, you can go back home and watch whatever programs you want. It has what's called programming on demand. Really simple. You just go to the network, go over to the demand, and start backing up, and get whatever programs that you want to watch. So MySDA TV, some of you have smartphones, you have your telephones, your iPads, all of those, you can download the apps and watch 3ABN anywhere you go in the world, as well as some of you have G19. We're also on Dish Network. There are many, many ways that you can get 3ABN. And tonight, I wanted to talk a little bit about miracles. And I believe in miracles. Do you?
Amen.
I have reason to believe in miracles, like the dawn expects the sun. And I will not accept defeat, for my trust in Him is complete, and my victory has already been won. Amen. Last time I was here, someone said it was around 1989. If so, 3ABN had been on the air possibly 3 years. So much has happened in the last number of years that it would take me weeks and weeks to try to share with you all the miracles that God has wrought. And I want to tell you something tonight. God is willing to bless anybody who's willing to be blessed.
Amen.
If you say, Lord, use me, I promise you, God will use you.
Amen.
He'll use you to do great and mighty and marvelous things that you never dreamed possible.
Right.
Because He said, go ye into the world, into all the world. Right? Matthew 28:18-20. Go ye, Jesus says, to me it's amazing. All power is given me, He says. Then immediately He says what? Go ye into all the world.
Amen.
So when Jesus said all power is given me in heaven and earth, He's saying I've counted my resources in advance. I found that I'm not wanting. So there's no excuse for you not to take the gospel to the world.
Amen.
And that's really that simple. All you have to say, and I found this out years ago, I've been living on it, and literally the existence of 3ABN has been dependent upon this, that I remember that the blessing is on the go.
Amen.
So if you remember nothing else this weekend, remember that the blessing of God is on the go, where Jesus says, go ye into all the world. How many ye's do we have here?
Right.
All right, every hand should go up unless you don't have one. Jesus said, go ye. He didn't just say, go, Jim Gilley. I saw his picture. He's going to be here next week. He didn't say, go, Mark Finley. Go, Doug Batchelor. He said, go ye into all the world. So I have a Bible someone sent me. It's a personalized one. So every place in it, it has the name Danny. And someone sent that to me, but it says, go, Danny, into all the world. Yours would say, whatever your name is, go ye into all the world. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming very soon. And I have seen miracle after miracle. I also wanted to say what a beautiful campground, what a beautiful spot that you have here. The first 2 hours I actually drove here. There's not any good way to fly. If I drive to St. Louis, it's a couple hours. Then I hear I'm about 3 hours from an airport. I think it's about 9 hours. I had to stop in Evansville last night. The Gaither Vocal Band were there, and we have friends with some of those folks. So we went over there and met with them in between their concert, and then started on over this way. But as I first came into West Virginia, it'd been a long time driving, and I said, you know what, I think West Virginia is a beautiful place, but I can't see anything for the mountains. But when I come here, I can see it actually is beautiful because it's not just mountains all around me. So West Virginia is just what I thought. It's a beautiful place if it weren't for the mountains blocking my view. So, all right, don't anybody get offended by that. I like to have a little bit of fun. I think we can, as Christians, we ought to be the happiest, most excited people on the face of planet Earth. Don't you?
Amen.
We really should. I want to share with you. I don't want to go back over the stories. If you write to 3ABN, they'll actually give you, just say, Danny was at our camp meeting, and he said you would send me free of charge. It's called Mending Broken People. It's about a 3 or 3.5 hour DVD that we made, so you don't have to watch it all at once, but little at a time. And it literally lists many, many of the miracles that God performed to get 3ABN where it is today. See, a miracle to me is something that you and me can't do. A miracle is something God can do. So a lot of times people say, oh, that was a miracle. Well, if you and me could do it or figure it out, that's not a miracle. The fact that man can go to the moon and go to space, that's not a miracle. We figured that out. Now, God gave us the technology, gave us the minds to do it, but a miracle is when he intervenes at the right time for his purpose, for his honor, and for his glory. I see it all the time. Everything on 3ABN is a miracle story after miracle story, and after 32 years, they continue to happen. But I want to just share with you a few of the miracles that to me are amazing. These are more recent ones, but just 2 or 3 years ago, and some of you may have heard this, I don't know, I think I mentioned it on television, and just 2 or 3 years ago, I was driving through our campground there, and it wasn't during camp meeting, and I saw a camper there, so I stopped to see who was there, and someone said, a man said, oh, my wife's wanting to see you. She's jogging down what we call Angel Lane, or jogging down the road, and so he said, can you wait a minute? So she came back, and she told me this story. I'm from Puerto Rico, and the Lord impressed me some time ago that our children need more information and need to be taught more about the spirit of prophecy, because we aren't teaching our kids about the spirit of prophecy. Our young kids and a lot of our students and a lot of those don't really know about the spirit of prophecy. So she said, I wanted to do something with children and incorporate the spirit of prophecy so they would have a good footing, not only the Bible, but the spirit of Ellen G. White writings. So she said, I said, Lord, why doesn't 3ABN do that? They should be doing that. They have a television network. They should do it. Well, she kept being convicted. So she said, it's almost like the Lord was impressing me. So I said, well, Lord, I'll tell you what. If this is up to me and you want me to go talk to Johnny Denzi, Johnny is our Latino manager, television manager. So she's Latino. So she said, I'm going to call Johnny Denzi. Lord, if it's your will for me to have a meeting with him to present this information, then I want you to make it happen. So what did she do? She called on a Friday. Our workers there have chosen to work 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. So they get Fridays off to prepare for the Sabbath and to do other things. So she says, she didn't know that, but she calls Friday morning. And she didn't get an answer for some a live person. They said, if you need prayer, what have you, the recording, but she wanted a live person. She was going to ask for Johnny Denzi. And so she wasn't able to make any contact. But she said, Lord, if you want me to contact Johnny Denzi, you'll have to find a way, make a miracle so that I can talk to him. I'll know that I'm doing what you've asked me to do. So she hung up the phone. She said, now who else would I know? Oh, I met Irma Murray, that's C.A. Murray's wife, and Irma works in Latino. I met her one time, and she gave me her phone number. I think I'll call Irma Murray and see if she can put me in touch with Johnny Denzi. So she looked down at the number, and she called what she thought was Irma's number, but she made a mistake. What she did was she dialed the first three numbers of Irma's cell number, but the last four numbers of 3ABN. Now that ought to get you what? Nothing really, right? Right? Y'all can be too quiet now, because I tell everybody I don't get nervous unless people are too quiet or your English teacher. So that'll, but so it's okay to talk back to me here. We're out here at camp meeting. This is a good time to to get to know each other and spend a little time together in a more personal way where we're not out in big crowds and I can actually see you right here and we can talk and visit a little bit.
Amen.
So she calls and makes the phone call, but as she dialed the first three numbers of Irma Murray's number, she looks away to dial. When she looks back, she accidentally dials the last four numbers of 3ABN's number. But she didn't realize it, so the phone rang. So a lady said, hello, and she says, Irma? Oh, no, this is not Irma. Oh, this isn't Irma Murray? No, this is not Irma. This is Kim. Oh, Kim, I'm sorry. Isn't your number? No, that's not my number. She said, well, I was trying to get a hold of Irma Murray. Now, she could have dialed anybody, and right, it's a 618 area code, so anybody could have answered in probably 100,000 people. So she says, but I was trying to get a hold of Irma Murray, and she said, well, I used to work at 3ABN, the lady said. Not an Adventist, but she said, the one who answered the phone, that should be nobody's number, I used to work at 3ABN, but she says, I don't know their, you know, the numbers. And she said, so who are you looking for? She said, well, I was looking for Irma Murray, but actually, I'm really trying to find Johnny Denzey. The lady at the other end of the phone said, oh, if it's Johnny Denzey you want to talk to, hang on just a minute, I'll give him the phone. Somebody got it. Somebody got it. Now, wait a minute. You called a wrong number. She called a wrong number. And the lady said, if it's Johnny Denzey you want to talk to, I'll hand him the phone. So it's like, now what in the world? How did that happen? So the lady told me this story. Well, that very weekend, I flew down. Johnny was in Puerto Rico then. And so I flew down to join him in some meetings. I said, Johnny, tell me about the lady at the campground was telling me this story. So amazing. And he said, oh, you didn't hear the rest of the story. I said, no. I mean, first of all, if I can ask you that, what were you doing at some lady's house about 9 o'clock in the morning, right? And I know you're a good man and a preacher and you love the Lord, but I mean, out of all the numbers she could have dialed, a wrong number, you're at that. How did that happen? He said, I'll tell you how it happened. He says, this Kim actually lives, well, you all live in the country. You know what a country mile is, right? She lives a country mile or two, because we're in the country, down from me, and so I know who it is. Now, of all the numbers, he knows who it is. But he said about 3 weeks ago, before this lady called, the post office brought mail and left it at my house that should go to Kim. So for 3 weeks, every morning I get up, and I'm eating breakfast, and I look on my table, and I've left the mail thinking I need to take it to Kim, but he said, I'm Latino and I'm always late for work, so I try not to be late, you know. Now, don't anybody get offended. I'm just saying what one Latino said to me, right? So he said, you know, I'm always a little late, so I seem like I never have time. So for 3 weeks, I'm going to take this to Kim, and I just didn't do it. Well, this morning, this Friday morning, I was home, not traveling for a change, he said. And so I was eating breakfast, and I said, oh, that's Kim's mail. I feel so badly, I need to take it to her. I finished breakfast, I put it in my hand, got in my truck, drove down the road to Kim's house, and Kim Smith's her name, to Kim's house, and I knocked on the door. He said, as I knocked on the door, she had a glass door, or glass window in the door. I could see her on the phone. And as I knocked on the door, she came to the door and opened it up and said, Johnny, the phone's for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that coincidence or divine providence? All right. Now, you know I couldn't make up stories like this, right? I don't have time to make up stories like this. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, tell me that God is not in control. How do you dial a wrong number? You have no idea. And you dial it exactly when this person is at the wrong number's house that you're really looking for in America, in this part of America, and they're in Puerto Rico. I mean, to me, that is amazing. I'll tell you, you want to hear more?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go. A number of years ago, I got a letter, and it came from a woman in Canada named Teresa. And Teresa says she wrote me a 9-page letter And this 9-page letter was amazing, but she said, started off, never quit knocking my boat or people's boats out of the water. And it's like, what does that mean? She says, I was raised Catholic. I was agnostic for years, but raised Catholic. And then about 6 months ago, I joined a Pentecostal church, gave my heart to the Lord, been reading the Bible. And she said, a few weeks ago, I was praying, Lord, give me truth. I want to know truth. And she said, as I was praying, I want to know truth. Lord, if you have it for me, she said, I read in the Bible, because I've never read the Bible, and it always talks about the Sabbath, the Old Testament and the New, as being on the seventh day. But we always go to church on Sunday. So I don't know why. So I said, well, Lord, I wish you'd give me some truth about this topic. She says, that night I was watching television, and your brother, Kenny, was doing a revelation seminar, and he was talking about the beast power in the seventh-day Sabbath. She said, it really upset me because I'd been raised Catholic, and so I didn't like it. See, people always say, you got to be careful what you say because you might offend people. But you know what? We have to love people enough to take a risk of offending them. Because here's what I've found. If people don't want the truth, you can't sell it to them no matter what you do. You can't make them accept the truth if they're not wanting truth. If they're looking for truth, you can't hardly run them off.
Amen.
How do I know? Because God uses you and me to help win people to the Lord. And look at us, what a mess we are, right? So if people are looking for truth, they're going to find it. So she said, I got pretty offended about it, but I'd been praying. So I said, Lord, if there's anything to this, then you got to give me some more information. The next morning, she said, I went out on my front porch to get my newspaper. She lives in Canada, Ottawa. And as I went to the newspaper, there was a book beside it. Someone had left a book on the seventh-day Sabbath. So I said, now, wait a minute. Last night, I watched this TV program from the States, and then I get a book in the mail, so I began to read it. So she said, finally, I said, Lord, we're about to be baptized. We're going to be baptized in this Pentecostal church in a few weeks. And so I really need help. If there's really something to this Sabbath thing, I'm going to turn on 3ABN right now and just let there be something on the Sabbath. She said, as I turned on, you were sitting on a chair, in the chair, and you said, hello and welcome to 3ABN today. Today we have a special program, a two-hour live program, on the seventh-day Sabbath. So she said, I watched that. I got so excited about it, and I began to study. So she said, thank you for taking the risk of offending me, but you knocked my boat out of the water. But through study, I see that the seventh-day Sabbath is important. But here's my problem. She said, I'm going to be baptized. My husband and I were going to be baptized, and so we don't know what to do. And if we could just talk to somebody that would help us, should we be baptized in this church and then maybe later go to an Adventist church and we could go to that church. So I read the letter and I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to put this letter. I'm afraid somebody's not going to answer it. So I'm going to make sure I answer it myself. So I put it in my right-hand drawer because I wanted to make sure that it didn't get by and the secretaries or whatever didn't do it. About 7 weeks later, I go to my drawer one evening. I go into my desk, and I open it up, and there's this thick letter, 9 pages. And I say, what in the world is this? And I open it up, and it's that letter. My heart sank because here's a woman wanting some help. And I said, oh, Lord, I feel terrible. This is awful. I said, I tell you what, Lord, I'm going to call information for Ottawa, Canada, and asked for Frank Boot. And you know, you don't know who's listed, who isn't. I have no idea. I just knew the address, what it said from Ottawa, Canada. So I called information for Ottawa, Canada, and the operator said, hold for the number. So the phone rang. So the phone rang, and a little girl said, hello, this is Shelly. Shelly Boot, this is the Boot residence. This is Shelly speaking. May I help you, please? They're very, very mannerly up there, you know, in Canada. This is the Boot residence. This is Shelly. May I help you, please? And I said, yes, Shelly, may I speak to your mommy or daddy? And she said, well, who's speaking, please? I said, well, my name is Danny Shelton. Danny Shelton, are you the Danny Shelton of 3ABN? I said, yes. And she said, oh, I know my mom and dad will want to talk to you, but they told us not to bother them right now. They're in the other room, and they said, don't bother them. And I said, well, then don't bother them. When they're out, let them know that I called. And she said, no, but I know my mom would want to talk to you. And I said, well, if your mom and daddy said, leave them alone, don't bother them, please. She dropped the phone. I heard her, mommy, daddy, Danny Shelton's on the phone. And I heard a woman scream. It was like a scream. A few seconds later, a man's voice, hello, this is Frank Boot. Who am I speaking to, please? I said, this is Danny Shelton. Danny Shelton of 3ABN? Yes. Just a second. Teresa, it's Danny Shelton of 3ABN. I hear the scream again. A couple seconds later, a woman's voice. This is Teresa Boot. Who am I speaking to, please? So I said, either I don't talk plain, or these folks don't hear good or something, because I keep. So I said, she said, who am I speaking to, please? I said, this is Danny Shelton. Danny Shelton of 3ABN? Yes. And then a loud scream. So I said, well, I'm sorry you're taking it so hard. And she said, no, because you won't know what happened. My husband and I, this coming Sunday evening, we're supposed to be baptized in the Pentecostal church, but we've learned so much from 3ABN, we really feel like we want to join the Adventist church. Amen. But he's doing finances there for this church, and I'm helping out. We're very involved in the church. And she said, let me tell you why I screamed. She said, I told my husband, we have to find out where we should be baptized. We have to ask the Lord. So we're new at this as new Christians. So she said, I read in the Bible where somebody wrestled, Jacob, I think it was, wrestled with an angel and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So she said, I told my husband, we're going to go in the room, we're going to shut the door, and we're going to tell the kids, don't bother us, and we're going to pray till God gives us an answer. Amen. So she said, Frank began to pray, and after he was through, we didn't have an answer, so I prayed. Teresa can pray. So she said, I prayed for a bit, and we still didn't get an answer, and Frank prayed, and then I prayed, and finally he said, Teresa, I just don't think this is going to work. Now, they're 1,300 miles from me in Ottawa, Canada. I don't think this is going to work. And she said, well, Frank, what would it take for you to make it work? And he said, I don't know if we could talk to somebody. She said, well, who would you suggest? He said, I don't know if somebody like Danny Shelton could call us. She said, at that very second, mommy, daddy, Danny Shelton's on the phone. Now, is that coincidence or divine providence? I want to tell you, folks, I have reason to believe in miracles like the dawn expects the sun, and I will not accept defeat, for my trust in him is complete, and my victory has already been won. You see, there's nothing in your life, that God doesn't know about. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, you and me were on his mind. He could look down the stream of time and see if people that would be willing to give their lives unto death, if necessary, for the cause of God. Do you have any idea what a privilege and what an honor it is to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian in the closing moments of Earth's history? Now, I'm glad God has people in all churches, and I believe he does. I think it would be wrong of us if we think we're the only ones that's going to make it to heaven because we say Seventh-day Adventist over the doorpost of our church. God is not coming back for Seventh-day Adventists. He's coming back for people who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, Amen. Who the Seventh-day Adventist church goes into that category. But individually, some of us are a mess. Right. Oh, he got quiet now. He quit preaching and went to meddling, right? Yeah. Some of us are a mess. I mean, I can't even believe some of the things that comes to our attention and things that people write about and things that churches splits churches up. I mean, things that anything the devil can do to destroy. He likes to divide and conquer, doesn't he? Right. So it's my hope and prayer this weekend and throughout this camp meeting that there will be a unity among God's people.
Amen.
If there's anything in your life that's separating you from the blessings of God, I'm going to pray that you will say, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life. Maybe you've been holding back. Maybe there's a vice. Maybe there's something in your life that no one knows about. And I don't care if you're a preacher or if you're a teacher, if you're a Sabbath school pianist, if you're a layman, no matter what you are, what your position is, we all are frail human beings in need of a Savior. And each and every one of us, it's so important right now more than ever before that we submit and commit our lives to Jesus every day. Because, as I said earlier, it's no accident you were here. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. And so each and every one of us can do it. I mean, it's amazing. 32 years ago, when the Lord called me to build a television station to reach the world, I was a carpenter. I don't know nothing about television, but I still don't know a lot about it. I know it works, and I have the right people to make it work, and God has blessed me with that. But I'm a carpenter and a part-time gospel singer. My first wife, Kay, was killed, my daughter Melody's mother, and Melody was here with me in 1989. She was killed in an automobile accident, and Melody was with her. She's thrown through the windshield, had a broken arm and cuts and bruises, and we had just gotten together as a little family, and a year or two before, I think when she was 9 years old, and we started traveling on weekends singing gospel music. And I found out something. The devil seemed like he left me alone until I made a commitment to Jesus to do something for him. As soon as I made a commitment to go do more for God than ever before, I saw the darts of Satan coming against me. But I also saw the power of God. You see, greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. So we don't have to worry about what the devil's got. I have this friend, and he's resting now in Jesus, but he was in a supporting ministry. He called it independent ministry of the church, and he would call me from time to time, or I'd call him, and I'd say, how you doing, brother? And he'd say, oh, I tell you, the devil's beating me up. I tell you, the devil's just beating me up. He's turning me every way but loose. And how about you? I'd say, oh, if I was any better, I couldn't stand it. What'd you do, get a big offering? I said, no. What happened? I said, what happened is, it's very simple. Jesus died on the cross, gave his shed blood on the cross of Calvary that I could be saved and that you can be saved. And he called me into ministry, which is a great privilege to do, and that I know that I cannot fail, because when God's for you, nobody can be against you, right? So I said, you spend too much time worrying, in my opinion, I told him, you spend too much time worrying about what the devil's going to do. Don't worry about what the devil's doing. Worry about what God has called you to do, and don't be offended by anything. See, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I talk to people, say, well, I'm not going to church anymore. I'll show them, I'm not going to that church anymore. Well, why not? Well, you can't believe what this pastor said to me. You can't believe what one of the members said to me. And I said, what'd they do? Well, they offended me. I said, no, they didn't. Oh, you don't know the story. They offended me. I said, no, I do know the story. I'll tell you why. Because being offended is a choice. Being offended is a choice. Think about that. Write it down if you need to. Don't let anybody offend you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So when we say, well, he offended me. No, he didn't. You allowed him to offend you by making a choice. So what we have to do is realize that Jesus says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, you're up giving testimony to God. And when you do that, Satan has no power over you. There's nothing he can do to stop you. He can rob us of our homes, our cars, sometimes of our health, but he can't rob us of our eternity. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
So you and God have a connection that nobody can come in between if you're willing to do it. Jesus says, go ye into all the world. The blessing of God, I'm going to keep saying it, is on the go. Somebody help me. The blessing of God is on the go. So I find that every time when the Lord said, build a television station that would reach the world with an undiluted three angels' messages, one that would counteract the counterfeit, I had no idea what that meant. Now, I'd been singing. My daughter and I after my wife was killed, we continued traveling. We sang on a number of television stations that were like the TBN and some of the others. And I'd say, Lord, where are we as Seventh-day Adventists in the media? Shouldn't we be the heads and not the tails? How come these folk have Jim and Tammy Bakers and Swaggerts and all these people, they're dominating the television? And if you turn on some cities around America Sunday morning, you might see It Is Written or Faith for Today doing a half-hour TV program. But these people have whole networks. So I was saying, Lord, why doesn't the church do this? Lord, why doesn't the church do that? And this one night when I was complaining to God, he said, well, you're the church. Amen. Right? Amen. Our leaders aren't the church. Amen. They're just part of the church.
Right.
We all make up the church. This building can be a church, or tomorrow night it could be a dance hall if we wanted it, right? So it's not the building, it's not the physical buildings, but the church and the members that make it up is you and me. So when Jesus says, go ye into all the world, he wasn't saying, okay, conference leaders, you guys go to the world. He was saying, all of you join hands with our leaders so we can go into all the world.
Amen.
Everybody needs leaders. We need people to help us and lead, but we have to be a part of it. So when I've got that impression, he said, I want you to build a station. I said, Lord, I'll go forward on two conditions. I'll never beg for money, and I'll never borrow money. I never begged for money and borrow money, because everywhere I'd gone to these other religious stations, they were always begging for money. I called them begathons. And I said, that's not right. People shouldn't have to beg if this is God. So I didn't want to get in over my head. So it was pretty simple, actually. People say, well, it took a lot of faith. I said, well, not really, because when I said I won't beg for money, I won't borrow money, I didn't have enough credit, as my dad would say, to buy a sick chicken supper. Some of you will understand what that means, right, if you're farmers, and like we are in Southern Illinois and coal miners. So I didn't have any credit. I couldn't have done anything if I wanted to, and I knew I wasn't going to beg for money. So I said, Lord, I'll go forward. What did I say?
I'll go.
I'll go. Where's the blessing?
In the God.
I didn't know it. It just happened. I found it out by going forward. The blessing of God is on the go. Lord, I'll go forward, and you supply every need. Miracle after miracle after miracle began to happen. Did you know in November 1984, when this impression came to me, there was not one television station on planet Earth that was giving the three angels' messages 24 hours a day? Not even a little local television station anywhere in the world. Seventh-day Adventists had no presence when it came to media, the most powerful media on Earth at the time. And yet we claim to be the heads and not the tails. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go forward. And the Lord began to open up miracle after miracle. People, we were able to get on the air in 1986. We saw lives changed by the thousands, and yea, now hundreds of thousands. It's been an absolute incredible miracle watching God perform what he needs to perform to make 3ABN, continue to get 3ABN to reach all the world. And thank you for your love and your prayers and financial support. I couldn't do it by myself. Our little group there couldn't do it. But all of us working together, it can happen. So I'm humbled and very thankful for all of you who support this network. But God has called each and every one of us. So now technology has changed so much that when we first went on the air, only people with big dishes could get us. Now there was close to a million in 1985 or 6, a million big, you remember those 12-foot and 14-foot dishes? All right, some of you old enough, you're telling the truth. You remember the big dish. Well, only about a million people, so when I began to tell people, hey, we're going to build a television station to reach the world, what do you think they said? Well, you can't do anything. He's a carpenter. What's he know about television? Well, you don't know anything, do you? I said, no. I just know the Lord said, go ye into all the world. People say, well, he'll never get the signal up to satellite. How are you going to do that? Well, Lord bless, we got the signal up to satellite. You think that satisfied him? No. What they said then was, well, he'll never get it down in the homes. You know, that's the way people do. You don't worry about what people do. You go forward. I remember I was so excited. Now, I'm a young guy at the time, and believe it or not, if there's any young folk out here, believe it or not, in 1980, 1980, 1985, so I was about 34 years old. And so I was so excited. I was telling everybody, I'd go to churches where my daughter and I were singing. I'd say, the Lord's impressed me to build a television station to reach the world. I remember in California, one preacher went to the back of the, and he was doing like this. And I said, either he's hot, something's going wrong, he's doing like this. He wanted me to stop. So we stopped, and I went to the back, and he called me to his office. He said, what are you doing telling people? You're here, supposed to be singing. I said, well, the Lord's impressed me to be. No, that's never going to happen. If it happened, the media center would do it. The Adventist Media Center, that's what we have. They can't do it because they only have a few programs. It Is Written and Faith for Today and Breath of Life, the Hispanic program, and they can only be on a half hour on Sunday mornings in a few cities. This would cost millions. You can't do it. And I said, I don't know anything about that. All I know is what the Lord impressed me to do. So a few weeks later, someone said, they're having meetings at the Adventist Media Center in Thousand Oaks, California, and they're going to help train laymen in media. Well, no one was in television, but there were laymen who was doing one-minute health spots or five-minute health tips or something like that. So they said they will help. So somebody said, you should go out there. And I thought, I'll do it, because these folk, they're going to be so excited when the media center finds out, Adventist Media Center, that they're going to get to be on television and eventually reach the world. They should just be excited about it. They'll be excited about it. Then all of a sudden it occurred to me, who are you? They don't know you from anybody, you know. So I go out there, and there's about 200 or 300 laymen that's there. So they have a very well-known man. I won't tell you who is his name. But he's very well known and had a program that most of us would know his name. And he was the MC, so to speak. So he would call people up and say, what's your name, where are you from, and what is it you're doing? So almost for a whole day, I heard people come up and they would say, well, my name is whatever, Jane Doe. I'm from Alabama. And my husband and I are doing a one-minute health tip, putting it on a local TV station or a local radio station. People would clap and amen, praise the Lord. Well, this is really good. What are you doing? Finally, one man said, I'm putting together a half-hour television program that'll be shown on the air in a one city in Florida. And it took everybody's breath. Oh, my, my. That's amazing. How could he do this? You know, this is absolutely amazing. Came my turn. I couldn't wait. So, what's your name, young man? He said, I was a young man at the time. What's your name, young man? Danny Shelton. Where are you from? Southern Illinois. What is it that you're doing in media? I said, the Lord's impressed me to build a television station that will reach the world with an undiluted three angels' messages. One would counteract a counterfeit. And you could hear a pin drop. As quiet as could be. And he looked at me and he said, you're going to do what? And I said, build a television station that will reach the world. And he said, well, you're going to build a television. I said, yes, sir. He said, how do you know? I said, the Lord impressed me to do it. Well, you mind if I ask you a couple questions? He said in front of the 200 or 300 people. I said, no. He said, let me ask you something. Do you know, are you rich? I said, no, sir. Oh. Are you an engineer? Have you done any studies? I said, no, sir. What's your background? I said, I'm a carpenter. Oh, you're a carpenter. And you're going to build a television station to reach the world. I said, yes. And well, let me ask you, do you have any property to build this? I said, no. Do you have anything about television equipment, or do you know anything about it? No. Do you know how much it costs to be on the airwaves? I said, no. He stopped and he looked around and he said, well, let me repeat that. So he told everybody what I just said. So finally, I said, you don't act like you believe me. Well, he said, no, actually, I don't. I said, and you don't act excited. Why not? He said, because every time somebody like you comes along, a layman, and you say you're going to do some big project, you'll get enough people to believe you. They'll help some, and they'll give to you instead of the media center. He said, let me give you an example. Have you ever heard of the Adventist financial pie? I said, no. So he went like this. This is Adventist financial pie. That pie can only be cut into so many slices without it hurting the rest of our ministry. So I said, so when laymen get up and we want to do something in media like this, he said, well, here's the thing. You can't do it. It's impossible. If we could do it, if it could be done, we would do it. You have no idea. By your own admission, you're not an engineer. You're not wealthy. You don't know anything about television. And yet you think you can do it. But there'll be people out there who'll believe you, and they'll send some money to you instead of to us, and then it hurts all of us. So he said, the Adventist financial pie can only be cut into so many slices. Then he said, do you understand that each slice will get thinner? If people give to you, my slice of the pie gets thinner? I said, yeah, I understand it. But if you look in the refrigerator, God's got a lot more pies. So why do you want to fight over one pie? Because see, what you're saying is, who said God has one pie, right? And the Adventist church has one pie. We serve the God, a great God of the universe. He created. He said, let there be light, and he spoke it, and there was light. He spoke the worlds into existence. That same God said, go ye into all the world. Am I telling the truth? The rest of it is history of what happened. Now, when I say these things, I'm not, and I mean this with all my heart, because I want God to continue to bless the ministry. I'm not saying, look at me, what I did or what I said, because God used me in spite of me, in spite of my imperfections, just like he wants to use you. When I tell you, I used to say, I give God credit for everything. Nowadays, I don't. I say, well, I'll give God credit for the good things, and I take credit for the bad things. But you see, when you go forward, Jesus wants to come back. Folks, heaven is not really heaven until God's people are home.
Amen.
Heaven is not heaven. Jesus is back. He rose from the dead, which separates him from all other gods. Yet he's there without his children. He wants to come back, but he can't come back for a defeated church, for a church divided. He's coming back for a purified bride, a purified church. And yet, where is it today when we look at all the strife and all the things that goes on? When I was a carpenter, I had a lot of friends. I never realized when I got into ministry, I've had thousands of pages of stuff written about me put on the internet by people mostly who don't even know me. And it's all negative. It's like, what are we involved in all this room? People say, oh, I heard you did this and that. Well, I heard you, you know. And most of the time, they'll go to somebody else. Oh, don't support 3ABN. I heard Danny did this, or I heard they did this. They don't know anything about Matthew 18. I mean, if you have aught against your brother, go talk to your brother about it. Don't come to me. So I've learned a lot from this. If any of you come to me and say, well, I heard our pastor over here, I'm going to say, have you talked to him?
Amen.
Why are you talking to me? You see, we're going to have to get to the point that we see the picture. We don't lose focus of our mission, and our mission is to tell the world about Jesus so he can come back for a purified bride and a purified church. And yet, when we have hard feelings against each other, yet when we're so occupied by the world and everything around us that our mind isn't on him, he's waiting on, we're not, see, we say, oh, we're waiting on Jesus to come. No, he's waiting on us, right? It's time, folks, for revival and reformation. That's what it's going to take for Jesus to come back. And where should it start? It's going to start right here, West Virginia, right here at this camp meeting. My hope and my desire is that none of us will leave here the way we came, that we will leave changed. And by the end of this entire week, you're going to be so on fire for the Lord that everybody's going to think you're crazy. Everybody's going to think you're crazy. Well, can you imagine? Look what he's saying. Look what she's doing. Hey, so what? Who cares, right? People say to me, well, you have to be careful. You're going to offend somebody. You know, some of this stuff you guys do. When we first started putting up 24/7 Christian programming, I had a guy high in leadership in the church. He said, I need to talk to you. He said, you can't put on that kind of stuff 24/7. Where a few million, at that time, it ended up, those dishes went to about 6 million viewers or homes. You can't do that. I said, why? He said, because what if somebody, you're doing a revelation seminar and somebody doesn't watch it till the night you're talking about the papacy and the mark of the beast? You're going to offend somebody. They're going to think we're, you know, it's terrible. And I said, I can't worry about any of that. All I can worry about is Jesus said, go ye into all the world. If we have, you know, we put up little tents we used to and then have little revival meetings. Few people come, but nobody knew about us. But now we have an opportunity to reach millions and hundreds of millions of people, and we're going to worry about it. So I said to him, well, what would you suggest we put on? He said, well, put on some religious stuff, but put on shows like Leave It to Beaver and I Love Lucy and things like that. And I said, now why would I do that? And he said, well, because, you know, you just kind of ease them into it. And I said, what if at 2:00 in the morning, somebody's getting ready to kill themselves and they turn on the television and I Love Lucy's on? They're probably going to go ahead and pull the trigger. You know why I say that? I can tell you over and over and over stories from our pastoral ministries department who will tell you exactly that. Johnny Denzi told me the story. He said it again just at a meeting I was with him not too long ago. 2:00 in the morning, somebody called and said they were literally was going to take their own life. They live in an apartment building. And he said he turned the television up really loud. He didn't want anybody to hear it. Put a gun to his head, and as he started to pull the trigger, he heard, didn't turn it on 3ABN purposely, Elder John Carter said, Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he made a plan of salvation for you. He put the gun down. He listened. He called pastoral to ask them to pray with him. I was in closing now. I'll close. Normally, they say, you know what a preacher says, what it means when a preacher says, I'm going to close, nothing. But it does tonight with me. It will mean something. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. Don't want to wear you all out. But I was in Jamaica some years ago, and they literally, there's so many thousands of people, and they watch 3ABN. They put, like, guards around me just to keep people from rushing me. So as I'm walking, and, of course, you want to be friendly and you feel badly, but everybody just runs up, and you don't know what they're going to do. So they put a little fence inside the big sanctuary. It holds thousands of people. So it had the pastors and some of us, we were there, and they had this like a little, it's fence, a little white fence post, a picket fence around us. And I saw a young man, he kept getting up high and looking over, and he said, 3ABN saved my life. And they said, don't bother him. 3ABN, thanks to 3ABN, it saved my life. So I said, can you let him in? They said, you have to go up and preach. I said, well, I'm going to take him with me. What? I said, I'm going to take him with me. I want to hear his story. He's got me interested in his story. 3ABN doesn't save any. God saves people, but he uses anybody willing to be used. So I brought the young man up with him, and here is his story. He said, less than two years ago, I was late teens, 19, 20. I decided that life wasn't worth it. My grandma had been a Seventh-day Adventist, but I haven't been raised in an Adventist home or a Christian home. My mother, I was single parent with my mother. And so he said, I just got to the point that I hated life. I was ready to kill myself. So I was sitting in a chair in front of the television with it off, and I was waiting for it to get dark enough to get up enough nerve to go into the bathroom. He had some kind of drugs he could take to end his life. So he said, it took me a couple hours to build up the nerve. Finally, as I started to get up, my arm moved and I knocked something on the floor. And when I reached down to pick it up, guess what he'd knocked down? The television remote. And on turn came the television, and he said, you were sitting there with Mark Finley doing a live program, and you said, Mark, there may be somebody right now thinking about committing suicide. Could you speak to them? And he said, Mark Finley pointed his finger at me and said, friend, Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life. Do not take your own life. And I remember when that happened, we have these huge lights, studio lights, and one of them burst. And that hot glass, if it would hit anyone, could really burn you. And I thought right then, some of the crew said, the devil was angry about this program. So here this young man is telling us this story that at the exact time he's going to take his life, that Mark Finley is looking in the camera telling him don't. You know what? Well, now, here I am almost 2 years later. I'm at Jamaica. He says, I'm not only given my life to Jesus, but I'm now in the seminary to be an Adventist preacher. I was there just this last year, and I told the story, and the conference president got up and said, oh, he's a pastor now, pastoring a church. Is that coincidence or divine providence, you see? So anyway, I have reason to believe in miracles. I have reason to believe in miracles, to expect them like the dawn expects the sun. And I will not accept defeat, for my trust in him is complete, and my victory has already been won. Amen. You and me today are a miracle of a loving God who loved us so much that he's willing to send his son to come down and to die on the cross of Calvary to give us each an opportunity. The greatest asset that we have is not our knowledge, it's not our education. Ellen White says it's our own personal testimony of what God has done for us. That's your greatest asset. What are you doing with it today? I'm going to ask you, if you want to really recommit your life to Jesus and say, Lord, please use me in ways that I never dreamed possible. I want you to intervene in my life and make me a blessing to those that I come in contact with. Maybe you have family out of the ark of safety and you've not been a good witness to them. Maybe your husband, your wife, maybe your children. You say, Lord, create within me a new heart and a new mind. Let my family see Jesus in me. You see, Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men unto me. If you want to make that commitment tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and we're going to pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many wonderful blessings to us. And Lord, tonight we feel so inadequate to be up here talking and sharing, but Lord, again, it's our own personal testimonies. I'm asking that each person here that hasn't heard what I've said tonight, but your Holy Spirit has touched each heart and each mind so they will hear what you would have them to hear tonight, because I know that you are drawing us to you. Lord, the world's in a mess. Even in our own country, it's a mess. We are trampling the laws of God. So many areas, not only the Sabbath, same-sex marriage, abortion, all these other things that we're doing as a nation, and sometimes as a people, we go along with it. Our silence is costing the lives of millions. Father, give us a voice. You've given us a voice. I pray that you'll give us the courage, the strength to stand up and tell the world about you and your soon coming and what you have done for each and every one of us. I pray now that as we go, thank you for this Sabbath, that as we go to our respective places, tonight, abode where we are, whether it's tents, or campers, or hotels, wherever we are, that as we spend a little more time with you and maybe with each other and as families, spend a little time this evening together praying and asking you to be the center of our home and the center of our joy. These things I ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. Good night, all. Have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Don't be late for Sabbath school and church, all right? By God's grace, we're going to have a blessed time.